How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her.
Joe Rico and Alex Samira is back at the final word. Special guest co-host Dr. Eric Napkin from the Archer Medical Clinic, as well as Vicki Severson from Pete Kia. We will get to Justin Adams from KCNC. But first, have to tell you about our good man, Raz Gannat, and all the great people down at Gannat Jewelry Atelier, located at 250 Columbine Street in Denver, Colorado. You can give them a call today at 303-355-5050. Mention the final word for the red carpet treatment. And I'll tell you what, Alex, every time I look at your lovely fiance's engagement ring, I know what quality work is done at Gannat Jewelry.
It's an amazing craft that they have established over there at the North Cherry Creek area. That's Raz and Itchik Gannat. They're located at 250 Columbine Street, Suite 130, Denver, Colorado, 80206. We have Dr. Eric Napkin, one of his compadres, one of his main men, his top, maybe one of his top lieutenants, henchmen. Would I say henchman? Would that be fair, Doc? Say.
Well, I am a doctor, so I'm not sure. That'd be
I don't think he's a henchman.
You're not a henchman. But anyways, you mentioned the final word. You're gonna get the red carpet treatment. That's Raz and Itchik Gannat. More than 35 years, like I said, in the North Cherokee District. Voted Denver A-list best home jewelry designer year after year after year. And, Doc, would you recommend Gannat Jewelry to our listeners on 98.1 FM, Mile High Sports?
Oh, 100%. Their customer service is bar none. I mean, they spend time with you. They talk. Whatever you want, they can create. It's incredible.
Well, I'll tell you what. That's Raz Gannat and Gannat Jewelry Atelier. Give him a call at 303-355-5050. Our next guest is such a well-rounded guy, great husband, great father, amazing journalist, taught me so much in the 10 years we've known each other, going on 11 now. Wow. We are both getting older, Justin Adams. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin Adams TV. And, hey, you know, with you, Jacob, can we whip up that CU fight song if that's all right, man? I mean, let's get that cranking up because we got a buff here. He had the gold tie on, you know, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'm taking full credit for this run. When I started going up to the event center about 6 weeks ago, they were in the midst of a losing streak. Yeah, here we go. Let's hit it. Let's hit it. Yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
Yes, they deserve it.
Doesn't
too.
Doesn't that feel good?
But
breathe,
you know,
let it breathe.
Let it breathe. Let it breathe. There we go, man.
Tomorrow night, second round, Florida State, 3:45 p.m.
Love it,
baby. TNT.
Hey, well, I will say this. I believe it's TBS, but we'll get that from Justin in a moment. But anyway, a big win, you know, and that's not often said in CU basketball. I mean, you had the 2012 win to get to the second round. You had Chauncey Billups getting his team to the second round. Mm-hmm. But it's never really gotten past that. And of all years, this is the year. I mean, I really feel it. I think Florida State could actually win. And I'm going to tell you something. This is my honest opinion, man. I think LSU is going to give Michigan all they can handle. I really do, man. LSU is a very stacked team in the SEC, mm-hmm. and I think they match up very well with Michigan. I mean, if you look at it that way, I mean, this is the year, right? Florida State is standing in the way of history, and I really think the Buffs are going to move them out of the way. And good morning to you. What do you think, man? Are we going to get to the Sweet 16? Good morning. Where you at?
First of all, Joe, before I say anything, Alex.
Yo.
My friend.
My man.
I'm going to need you to let that fight song breathe a little bit longer.
Yeah, man. I'm going to tell you.
Anytime you hit 16 threes and just blow out the Georgetown Hoyas, what everybody
Shoot.
Picked.
Patrick Ewing.
Everybody picked.
Allen Iverson.
Georgetown to beat CU.
They did.
That game was over so fast.
You know
that game was over. That game was over faster than my son having some breakfast. That thing was done. Okay? That thing was gone. Okay? I loved every part of that game. I will say this, though, fellas, is that Florida State will be a tough team. That is a tough, tough game for the Colorado Buffaloes. But when you look at what they did yesterday, you see the team that, yeah, they were hot from deep, but it looks like every place they could win in so many different ways. If they need to go up against a team that's big, like Georgetown was, then they're able to outshoot them. They're able to get rebounds as well against them. You're going to have a very athletic team in Florida State. Well, they have guys who could defend them as well because of the way that they play their pressure defense. So I love the bus. I love the way that they're playing right now. It's going to be a great one tomorrow on TBS, by the way. It's TBS. On TBS at 5:45.
Okay, 5:45. That's 3:45 Mountain Standard Time right there. Is that correct, Jess?
Oh, no. It's 5:45 Mountain Standard Time.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Trust me, I know.
I know you know. And David Platty, I was trolling him a little bit earlier yesterday, and he said, or today actually, he said, and somebody asked him a question, how do they fare against Florida State? They're not as big as Georgetown, is what he said, but they play really good defense, and it's going to be a good challenge. You know, a very politically correct statement, how he always has to express his opinions, right, and stuff. But, man, I look at it like if you're hitting 16 three-pointers a game, and maybe even if you miss six of those, you're mm-hmm. still in contention. And one of our guests here, Dr. Eric Nacken, is also a Colorado Buff. You went to CU, and
for a little bit.
You thought, what are your thoughts on the CU's game yesterday?
It was incredible.
Wasn't it?
It was incredible.
When you look at the legends of Georgetown, you look at Patrick Ewing, the coach, and he's had a bad couple weeks, right, because he didn't get his credential. He was walking into Madison Square Garden, and he got upset about because no one recognized him.
Yeah, they pressed him, man.
Whatever, man. Whatever. And then you got Alonzo Mourning, Allen Iverson, all these big guys that went to Georgetown. Mm-hmm. So when I first saw Georgetown against CU, I was like, ooh. Wow.
But
that's a whole different ballgame, right, Justin?
It's a whole different ballgame.
Well, let's switch it over to the Denver Nuggets and get back to the reality of it. I mean, I will say this. I think it'll be great for CU. I do think they beat Florida State. But let's see. You know, they've still got to do it. But a great year so far. And I'm very proud of McKinley Wright, especially. I think he's really worked hard. There's a young man everyone can appreciate. Let's flip it over to pro basketball. And the Denver Nuggets, I think, are finding their stride. They have won six of their last seven games. Michael Porter Jr. is developing into, I think, that third guy. And I'm not sure, but, you know, they don't give the trophy away, right, Alex, in March or April. Nope. You want to be playing your best basketball. How can you see this? I mean, can you see this team starting to develop? I mean, you got Campazzo, the guy that they brought in from Argentina. No, it's pronounced Campazzo. It is Campazzo. But trust me, I know that they call him Campazzo. Yeah, Campazzo. That's what he says. Facu Campazzo. I don't
know
anything about it.
Man.
Yeah, anyway, but let's go to the English pronunciation, Campazzo. Okay, and anyway, the bottom line is, He's a guy, all these new parts had to integrate themselves. But Jermichael Green, he had to come in, you know, new players. And, I mean, there was a lot of flack given to the Nuggets at the beginning of the year. I heard a lot of fire Michael Malone, a lot of this. But now I see this team kind of turning the tide. And a big win a couple nights ago, big, huge comeback. Jamal Murray with the big three. Where are you at with the Nuggets? Are they going to be able to make that push? Because, you know, or do they need to make a trade deadline deal? Because that's coming up here in the next couple days. Where do you see this team going? Are they going to make a deal or not? And what do you see them doing in the second half of the year?
Yeah, well, the number one thing is they're going in the right direction. And the schedule is really helping out, too. They're on a five-game homestand. And so they've only lost one game. That was against the Mavericks on last Sunday, actually. So they're able to go and win these games against teams that honestly are below 500, like the Chicago Bulls, for example, too. And that was a great comeback to have as well. They take on the New Orleans Pelicans today at 1 o'clock. So they are going in the right direction. Michael Porter Jr. is playing a lot better. He's averaging in the 20s the last six games. Has really picked things up defensively as well. And so you really got to like the way that he is growing as a player. But I always remind people, he has just pretty much played one full season in his career. Just imagine what he's going to be 2 years from now. He has the potential to be the best player on the Nuggets roster, even with Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray on the roster as well.
Wow.
So keep that in mind, okay? Now, the other part, too, if you talk about this team and what they do need, I like Aaron Gordon. He's a forward, a power forward with the Orlando Magic. I like him if the Nuggets could grab him and just get another athletic piece to bring on defense. He could also space things out. He could shoot the three pretty well as well. If they could get somebody like that to guard the LeBron James of the world, the Kawhi Leonards of the world as well, they have a great chance to not only get back to the Western Conference Finals, but for the first time in franchise history, get to the NBA Finals. They have that type of potential.
Wow.
And I like that. That's Justin Adams, man. I love it, man. I love how you're always optimistic about your home teams. And I'm going to say, I'm going to disagree with you a little bit. I think they need another big guy, another big enforcer, somebody who's going to, like, almost like a Bill Laimbeer status a little bit to kind of, like, not be you need an enforcer down there when you start going into the playoffs, and someone that's going to he's going to foul out maybe, but you know what, he's going to foul out and he's going to make sure there's some bruises left in the game. You're a CU guy, and you're very close to Philip Lindsay as well as I am, and you saw the whole situation break down with the Denver Broncos, and they both agreed to mutually part ways. Justin, I know it leaves a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth that he was an undrafted free agent and he made the team, and then he had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. Maybe the second one wasn't – I mean, it was just more of a – you know, it's because so many games. But now you start seeing him, and the Broncos didn't see him fit in their system. Is that a problem with Philip Lindsay not able to adapt with the new coaching scheme? Or does he have to play for a specific offense that suits his ability? Because let's be honest, he's not the greatest blocker, and he doesn't have the greatest hands. Mm-hmm. And Aaron Boone, I believe, Joey, right, from Minnesota?
Mike Boone,
he does that better than Phillip. So it's kind of like a wash on that trade. What are your overall thoughts on that situation with Philip Lindsay and the Denver Broncos?
I mean, from a player-to-player standpoint, you have one guy who's a Pro Bowler and another guy who has 273 career yards. And Mike Boone. Yeah. So I'm not exactly going to put both of them up. Right. And the idea that Mike Boone, what he does on special teams is what we signed him for, Broncos assigned him for, that's all fine and dandy. But you know what? You can find somebody on the back end of your roster to play special teams as well. So that's a little bit of a, you know, I won't say a lame excuse, but I don't buy that at all. The reality is that Philip Lindsay, yes, he does have, you know, issues with him blocking from time to time. But you're talking about a guy who caught 72 passes in his first two seasons before only had 7 catches last year. So that sounds to me like an issue with the offensive coordinator and not an issue with Philip Lindsay himself. You're also looking at a guy who had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. And I know we don't look at running backs anymore and really look at the 1,000-yard years, but that's something that he did as an undrafted guy. So to me, out of all the things that the Broncos have done this year, that is a miss. But again, when you go into free agency or when you go into the draft, you can always find you another running back, another person who could run the football as well, because as one scout told me, you never, and I mean never, sign a running back to their second contract because there's so much wear on them tires and they get injured. I'll give you one quick example. What happened with Christian McCaffrey when he got paid? Yep. He played 4 games this year and had injuries throughout the season. So you never want to sign a running back to that second contract.
But if that would have been his contract season, it would have been a different story, right?
I'm going to say this regarding Philip Lindsay, because he's a guy that is so near and dear to people's hearts here in Colorado. I don't think that we're non-biased. I think I'm biased when I look at the opinion of Philip Lindsay. I can't take into account. I saw him play at South High School. I saw him play at the University of Colorado. There's more emotion in it for me because I've known the kid, and Alex has since he was 16, and you have, by the way, since he was 16 years old. There's more emotion for you, regardless of whether you're a journalist or not. You went to the University of Colorado. Who could not root for a kid like Phil Lindsay? I mean, who really could? I mean, you'd have to be a maniac to not love that story. That guy was everybody's dream. I mean, he's like me and you and Alex making it. You made it, but you didn't have the career at CU that Philip Lindsay has. You know, you would have died to have that career, right? We would have. I would have died to have Philip Lindsay's career. And instead, you get the reality of the NFL that Phil's an undersized back, and this is the Broncos' perspective, not mine.
I wouldn't call it a dirty business either, Joe.
Well, no, wait. I just want to say that I think he's undersized by NFL standards. He's a very, lightweight guy. He's not somebody in pass protection. Although you said his receiving statistics were average at best. He's an average receiver at best. He'll never be a great receiver, but 4.3 speed, you cannot coach. And any kind of team could use Philip Lindsay. There is always a place on your roster for a Philip Lindsay. I don't want to hear the Broncos' excuses. They just didn't want Philip Lindsay on this roster, period.
And that's the reality of the NFL, though, is that it's not for long. Truly, it's not for long. Right. See, here's one thing guys have to remember, and I want all the listeners to remember this, too. The average career in the NFL, the average lifespan, pretty much, is 3 years and 3 games.
Yeah,
and for a running back, that's like 2.5 or 2.3 for a running back, okay? So Philip Lindsay has already beat the odds as an undrafted guy to do that as well. Another thing, too, which I know that we got to be careful on, we could talk about all the things that he can't do and forget about all the things he can do. Was he the best pass protector in the world? No, but let's look at the Broncos running backs. Let's be honest. Who really was? Royce Freeman out there? Are you serious?
No.
Like, there wasn't a lot of guys out there, too.
Yeah.
So let's go and remember him for the great things that he did do. He's going to do the same thing with the Houston Texans. My hope is that he gets another contract with another team, and then when he hits 30, hang up your cleats, man, and be able to go and teach other kids how to run the football.
That'd be great, man.
Okay, so here's my last one for me, Justin. By the way, you looked great last weekend cooped up in the airport. You're like, I'm waiting for the snow. Oh, the snow's here now. And I'm getting buried. Dude, your coverage was on point.
Yeah.
Hey, man, so Deshaun Watson, the timing couldn't be any worse with all these civil suits coming out, Justin. I know that, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire sometimes.
Yeah.
But same time, you know, at this point with free agency and how and with the draft coming up, this couldn't be a worse time for that to happen. And if you're George Payton on the Broncos right now and you're looking at potentially, hey, man, we could potentially get him, is it worth it at this point? Because I know, sometimes they get, judged in social media before they actually go to court. And, you know, sometimes you're perceived guilty before you actually get a trial. And that's what it seems like to me right now with 12 people. I don't know what the whole situation is, and I don't want to even speculate, but if you're a general manager, not only for the Broncos, but for any other organization that might be thinking about acquiring or going for the sweepstakes with Deshaun Watson, you got to take a little bit of precaution steps, right?
100%. You have to look also at, like, public opinion will always be there. That's just the reality of being in business. I know there's public opinion for myself being an anchor, reporter, sports broadcaster, goodness gracious, what else do I do?
Sure.
Everything, okay? But I know there's always that out there. The reality, though, as a general manager is, it's your responsibility to not only, A, do your due diligence, but also have a plan B and a plan C in place as well. So no matter what happens with Deshaun Watson, you need to make sure that you have another plan in place at quarterback for the season as well. So the number one thing that I just want to put out there and say on this issue is that women need to always be protected and know that they're valued, and it's our responsibility as men to make sure that they're taken care of. And if we're not doing it, then that's an issue on us. And we need to, as men, make sure that women are taken care of.
Well, I'm going to say this in regards to signing Deshaun Watson. And George Payton, if you're listening, and he probably is, you know, most of the great people listen to The Final Word, I'm going to tell you the word is no. And the answer is no, because I just remember one guy getting accused of one crime similar to this. And, of course, I'm talking about the great Kobe Bryant. And it was just one crime. And if anybody remembers the media and how that was that time for the Lakers, you know, I mean, it was always there. And even as he as great as he was in the career he had and the tragic end of his life, that one part of his life was always there and present. Now you're magnifying. These are 12 accusations. And by the way, I believe there was a civil suit. Was it a civil suit and a criminal suit against Kobe?
All civil. Against Kobe, it was criminal, yeah.
So where is the criminal? Will that follow? About a minute left.
You know, I don't know. You know, to me, I don't know what type of things that is going to be announced from the lawyer who is working on this case against Deshaun Watson. And so it is interesting, though. You know, Houston PD, they tweeted out that they haven't heard anything from him as of yet. You know, it's interesting to see the Houston Texans and the way that they have responded, saying that they found out about this through social media. So a billion-dollar organization finds out something about their star quarterback through social media. I find that hard to believe. And so there's just a lot of different things that are out there and a lot of questions that will be answered. I would say this, the number one thing, though, is let's let the courts figure things out before we go and jump to conclusions. But again, the number one thing in all this is women have to be respected and valued 100%, no matter the situation.
I agree 100%. Eric, you have something?
No, I absolutely agree with that 100%. But at the end of the day, we're innocent or proven guilty in this country. And, and with social media, and this lawyer, this, what's his name? Busby.
Busby? Yeah, Busby.
He's a joke. I mean, he's an ambulance chaser is what he is. And you know, if you're a victim, you go to the cops first, right? You don't go to a lawyer first and then file a civil case. You file a criminal case first and then you file a civil case second. That's what happened with Kobe Bryant, right? Right. They came in and they said, you know, we're criminally going against you.
I remember, like, right? Yesterday, yes.
So then you have these women, and I kind of question. It's kind of like saying Tinder's a dating site. He was on Twitter getting massage therapists from around the country and flying him in. A lot of interesting things around this. I'm curious to see how it pans out, but you're exactly right. I think, you know, women have to be heard and they have to be respected 100% of the time.
Yeah, well, definitely.
I'm going to just say this, Justin, man. Just great award-winning stuff as always from you. We appreciate you. And, you know, we know what kind of person you are and where your moral values and what your moral character is. And, you know, I think you really do represent so well Colorado, you know. And when we see you on KCNC, Alex and I just smile, man.
We
just smile every time. We're like, that's our boy up there. That's our boy right there, man. Yeah, I'm up there fist pumping. My wife's like, what's wrong with you?
I'm like, Justin Adams is on, honey.
It's my man, Justin Adams, baby.
She's like,
go back to bed. It's 4:30 in the morning.
My girl goes, he looks cold. I'm like, he's working,
man. Hey, by the way, man, I noticed that Alex mentioned earlier that Nikki has been dressing you, because we noticed you went from no mittens and no hat to the whole Gucci and Armani, fur hat and the whole bit. I mean, that was quite the ensemble, Mr. Adams.
Look, just know this, okay? Yes, I'm guilty of that, okay? She did do that, okay? It's all good.
I know
Alex, you're going to realize that too, brother. Once you go on, get wet and everything,
hey man,
your whole wardrobe is going to change.
I wake up in the morning and my boxers and my pants and my shirt's all picked out on the bed, man. I don't even have a choice what I do anymore.
It's already out there, man.
You say it's already ironed. You say your boxers are ironed?
Yeah, man. Iron boxes.
Man, that's let me love, tell you man. Something, man.
That's love.
That is that's love, much. Baby. That's love, man. Wait till the honeymoon stage is still going on with them.
Joe,
my boxers
go.
Are thrown in the freezer, Justin. Hey, man, I will talk to you later, my man. You take care. That's all our man, Justin Adams. Follow him on Twitter at Justin Adams TV. Great follow. Hey, when we get back, the lovely Miss Vicky Severson from Pink Kia. She joins the program next when you return to the final word on 98.1 FM.
Miles Sports.
Pain in the cadence, turn my